Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius is one step closer to confirmation as Secretary of Health and Human Services. The Senate Finance Committee voted 15-8 yesterday to move her name and her nomination to the Senate floor. To learn more about Kathleen Sebelius and her path to confirmation, we're joined by Carrie Budoff Brown, who is White House reporter for Politico. Ms. Brown, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Chris.
So some are saying that the panel was sort of divided. Give us a sense as to where this stands. I mean, I know there were people really sort of watching this.
Sure. I mean, it was a surprising outcome in that you only had Senator Pat Roberts, who is from her home state, and Senator Olympia Snowe, who's a well-known moderate Republican. Those are the only two Republicans who supported her. You saw Chuck Grassley, who's been working closely with Max Baucus on health care reform. He voted against her, as did the rest of the members of Republicans on the panel. And it was, I think we expected some opposition. There's been a, sort of an increased emphasis in recent weeks on her positions on abortion and her ties to a late-term abortion doctor in Kansas that the anti-abortion community has really been pushing hard in terms of, putting pressure on Republicans to make a statement, and they seem to have done that yesterday.
Is that the big issue, the abortion question?
I think it's mixed. I mean, the only person who spoke yesterday was Senator Kyle, who talked about mostly about her views on a piece of health care reform that he's not comfortable with, comparative effectiveness research, which he says is a way to insert government more deeply into health care decisions. He spoke mostly about that. I talked with senators afterwards who cited actually both issues, abortion and comparative effectiveness, or just general discontent with the administration's approach on health care and trying to signal that they're there, they need to be heard, Republicans, that is. It kind of just depended on the senator which one was emphasized first, but clearly Republicans were sending the message that it was twofold. It's interesting in terms of the implications on both fronts, in terms of the healthcare reform debate and, you know, the pressure that, you know, their base, the anti-abortion community, was putting on them to make a statement.
Do we have a sense as to how this sort of opposition might impact mm-hmm. her ability to actually be an HHS secretary if she gets through? And, of course, larger on the overall Obama push for a healthcare plan.
Well, I asked Senator John Cornyn that after the vote yesterday, and he said, well, she hasn't helped herself by having to revise both her taxes and then how many donations or how much donations, campaign contributions she received from this late-term abortion doctor. You know, no senator really kind of likes that, you know, having to revise what was originally stated. But I have to think that
I'm sure she didn't like it much either at this point.
Yeah, those kinds of things never kind of sit well, more so than, you know, policy disagreements, I would think. So I think maybe once they start getting going on working together, I mean, she's going to, you know, have to prove herself over again. But so would any nominee or any, you know, incoming secretary. They're going to have to build a relationship. You know, when she was first nominated, touted highly by Republicans for, you know, how she worked across the aisle in Kansas. And I'm sure she'll, you know, go back to, you know, trying to build some, you know, relationship with these senators. And some of this is, you know, Republicans trying to, you know, lay down a marker, exert their voices in this debate. And, you know, she was sort of a good target for them in terms of raising some key issues on health care reform. John Kyle got a good platform for an issue that's really been concerning him. So we all wrote yesterday about his concern about this piece of health care reform because we were writing about Kathleen Sebelius.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of a smart strategic move in terms of if you want to get a message out. You know, he used that yesterday. Republicans used that to their advantage.
Do we have a sense as to what her priorities will be if she does eventually get through the Senate, her confirmation hearing? What's she going to actually do?
Well, health care reform will be a big piece for her. She's made clear that
no small task there, right?
No small task. I mean, it's been kind of unclear. You know, she's coming into this debate a little bit late. The White House has been, you know, doing most of the work on health care reform. So she's made clear, though, that she wants to be a key player in health care reform. She also has a ton of issues just at HHS, you know, FDA. She has Medicaid and Medicare that she has to look after. You know, she just has this huge government agency, one of the largest in the federal government. So that's just a whole, you know, that's a huge task in itself on top of doing health care reform.
Well, and they have all sorts of, the FDA has been under pressure for, you know, are they monitoring peanuts and, pistachios and everything? Are they watching that stuff closely enough?
Yeah, well, you know, that they just had Obama just nominated somebody for FDA commissioner. That's the one of the only, there's only been four nominations for 20 spots that Obama has to fill in HHS. FDA is one of them, which should signal to people, you know, that that's clearly a concern for Obama. He's been very clear about how he wants FDA overhauled and just, you know, new focus on them. So, you know, Sebelius will have to be a part of that, too, because, you know, that's part of her agency.
Yeah, and it is such a big agency, and it covers so many things, everything from CDC to, you know, there's
NIH.
Just
NIH,
mm-hmm. exactly, research, yeah. a lot of research, and a lot of stimulus money in
Absolutely.
There, too, and making sure that all gets spent wisely.
Yeah, no, and they've for the first agency to get money for this, stimulus money out the door, they've, I think, distributed, I don't know, more almost $20 billion they have. I think almost $60 billion to distribute. They'll have to implement healthcare reform if it happens. You know, it's a really big job that she has ahead of her if she gets confirmed, which I think most people think that she will just kind of be ugly on the way towards that vote.
Do we have a sense as to, because of course her predecessor, her previous nominee was going to be this Uber guy, was going to have a White House job, and now these jobs are sort of split, and we're everyone's mm-hmm. sort of sitting back and watching how exactly these people will work together. We have a similar situation over at EPA, of course, but how mm-hmm. do these, you know, you have a White House person, an HHS person, how do these all end up working together in some unified direction?
Well, they're saying that they're, you know, there's enough work to go around. That's the line from the White House. There's plenty of work for everybody to do. Of course, their argument when they appointed Daschle was that they needed one strong person to sort of move all the ships in one direction. I mean, Nancy Andropov has been spending a lot of time on Capitol Hill as the, you know, the health care point person for the White House. There's lots of other folks in the White House working for Larry Summers, working for Peter Orszag, working for, you know, a lot of different departments who are interested in health care. Their job is health care reform. So there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of bodies, a lot of people interested, a lot of focus on it. And I think that's one of the unanswered questions is how will all of these folks work together and where will kind of the power rest and who will step forward and be that, you know, the strongest voice in the fight. You know, when Max Baucus asked folks on Capitol Hill, who should I talk to? When you ask White House folks that, they say talk to Nancy Andropov, but they're also saying, you know, there'll be a lot of different people who are going to be part of this conversation. I think Peter Orszag said that at one of his hearings. So it's very interesting. I mean, it's really an unanswered question as to who is going to step out front and be the most powerful person.
It's been very interesting over the years. We've seen people who have had very troubled hearings, and they almost had very successful tenures because they had spent the time with mm-hmm. up on the Hill and built those relationships as part mm-hmm. of that hearing process, while people who sailed through sort of never had to talk to the congressionals as much, so they ended up mm-hmm. having more trouble when they actually became secretaries.
Sure, that's one way to look at this process. I mean, Sebelius, she comes from outside Washington. She's a governor. One of her strengths is the fact that she'll have credibility with governors, which will be a huge sort of constituency for Obama to tap into to build support for his health care policies. But she doesn't necessarily have, like, the long, deep relationships on Capitol Hill that Daschle had. But I think that kind of cuts both ways.
Absolutely.
You know, so we'll see.